You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast.
All right. God, thank you again for your amazing presence is here with us. Holy Spirit, continue to move. I ask for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Lord, we do want to know your heart. We just say again, we want to know you. We want to know your heart, God. We want to be with you. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to feel you. We want to know you in a real way. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would draw our hearts to you tonight. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 13. My question to you guys tonight is, what are you after? If you wanted to call this message something, you could call it after God's own heart. After God's own heart. Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse 21. Then they asked for a king. This is Paul giving a sermon. He's talking about Israel, of course. They asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he has promised. All right. Amazing few verses right there. David, like Taylor said earlier, is the only person called in Scripture a man after God's own heart. This whole weekend is about the heart of David, but like also what you said, which I was going to say the same thing, the reason we want the heart of David is because David had the heart of God. And so that's what we really want. We want the heart of God. We want the heart of Jesus. We want to know him. And David connected to him. And so we want to be like David so we can connect to Jesus, right? That's really what we want here. All right, so this passage here in Acts chapter 13, again, I like the thing about context. That was great. We don't want to, this is not a con, so I'm going to give you some context here. Acts chapter 13, what's happening in this story is Paul, who was Saul, has been at the church at Antioch. This was his home base. If you don't know about the church at Antioch, I would encourage you to study the church at Antioch. Other than Jerusalem, it is the most important city in the New Testament, the church at Antioch. And so what's happening is Paul, Silas, and the rest of the team and their community, they're there in verse 2. It says that they're ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. If you guys don't know that phrase or that idea, the idea of ministry to God, let me introduce it to you. We are called to minister to the Lord. And so Paul is in this community called Antioch. They're ministering to the Lord, which is another way of saying they're worshiping the Lord. They're worshiping, they're praying, they're fasting. And then God sends out Paul and Barnabas. They are the very first missionaries in the Bible. All right. So I know we got YWAM folks here. So if you like missions, the very first missionaries were Paul and Barnabas. They were sent out from an environment of ministry to God, prayer, and fasting. That was the environment that God used to launch missions in the New Testament. And the first message we have, the first teaching we have record of after Paul gets sent out from this environment called Antioch is a message about David. So Paul shows up. He's at the synagogue. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's going through the history of Israel, and he gets to David, and he stops at David, and he highlights David, David, the man after my own heart. And then he jumps from David to Jesus and gets into the gospel. There was something about David that Paul recognized that pointed him to Jesus. And if you want to understand the heart of David, if you want to understand the tabernacle of David, understand this, that David points to Jesus, okay? I had somebody tell me, actually, when we were together in Texas, they were like, we were reading your book, and someone was very concerned that you were only talking about David. And you know, they were going through it in like a Bible study with their group, and this lady was like, I don't think this is a good book. I think this is bad theology. Oh, he's only talking about David. Like, we need to be talking about Jesus. And then they finally get chapter 10 or something like that, you know, and I'm really hammering home how David points to Jesus. They were like, oh, okay, never mind. I'm okay. It's okay. So I'm going to go ahead and say it at the beginning of the conference, not wait. David points to Jesus. David is a type. He's a picture of a king and a priest, and he points to Jesus, all right? Yeah. And Paul's making that very clear here right from the beginning. So what does it mean when he says that David is a man after God's own heart? Well, there's a couple things it could mean. There's a couple ways you could say this, right? Like, people say that my son Gabriel, that he takes after me, right? He takes after me. He's after me because he's kind of like me. He looks like me and he acts like me. So could mean that David is like God. His heart is like God's heart. It could also mean like I'm coming after something, right? You can chase after something. It could mean that David is chasing after God's heart. It could be a pursuit. And I think it's actually both of those things. I think when it says that David is after God's own heart, I think it means that he is like God. His heart was like God's heart, number one. But I also think it meant he was chasing after God's heart, right? He was pursuing the Lord. And this is, of course, what we want as well. Now, interestingly, Paul is like, where is it? Verse 22, of whom he testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. This is actually not a direct quote from the Old Testament. He said, this is what they've said, but he's actually kind of throwing a few things together. But one of these phrases in here, the after my heart phrase, definitely points to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we don't have time to go there. But if you go back and look at the story, Saul was the king right before David, right? So Israel is saying, we want a king. They give him Saul. Saul was not a man after God's own heart. Okay. All right. And that's the whole point in 1 Samuel 13 is Saul is disobeying Samuel. He's trying to offer these sacrifices that he wasn't supposed to be offering. And Samuel shows up and says, Saul, you've been disobedient. You've been trying to take the priesthood into your own hands and offer these sacrifices for the sake of building your own kingdom. And I'm going to take you out of this position as king. And I'm going to put a man who's king who has my heart. All right. So that's what Samuel says to Saul. And this is where that phrase comes, after my heart, after God's heart. And if you want to go back and look at the contrast and study the story between Saul's heart and David's heart, you get a very clear picture here. And I just want to say a couple things about that. Saul wanted to be king. He wanted the position. He wanted the power. He wanted the authority. He wanted the notoriety. And he was willing to use worship to get that power and authority and that position. That's what he was doing in 1 Samuel 13. He was using the sacrifices in order to promote his purposes, his agenda, his desire to be king. David, I don't know that David wanted to be king per se. I think David actually wanted to be a priest. David's passion was worship. He wanted to be in the presence of God. He wanted to minister to the Lord. And David wanted to be priest, and God made him king, right? Saul wanted to be king, and he got removed, right? And there's a lesson in that. And if you're around tomorrow, I might touch on it more. But this idea of that which is priestly leading to and fueling that which is kingly. All right. I have here, Saul wanted to use God's priesthood to establish his kingdom. David wanted to use his kingdom to establish God's priesthood. Priesthood's all about worship. It's all about worship. It's about the presence of God. And so David wasn't trying to get the power and get the authority. He was trying to host the presence of God and use his authority as the king to establish a place of God's presence, whereas Saul wanted to use worship to try to get his own kingdom established. There's some weird stuff happening. I'll just say there's some weird stuff happening in our nation where people are trying to use worship for political purposes and earthly, fleshly purposes. And I'm telling you, that's not the way of God. That is not the heart of David. David said, I'll use whatever platform, authority, influence I have, but I'm going to use it to make much of him. I'm going to use it to host his presence. I'm going to use it to honor him. We don't use worship. We don't use worship to try to get our agenda or to get some other purpose, political purpose. Anyway, that's just a little side note. David was a man after God's own heart. Unlike Saul, he wanted to minister to the Lord. He wanted the presence of God. He wanted to be a worshiper. I'll use the term priest. To be after God's heart, I believe it means that you want to be a priest. So I'll give you three P words tonight. The first one is priest. So you want to be after God's own heart, learn how to be a priest. Learn how to minister to God. That's what they were doing at Antioch. They were ministering to God. That's what priests do. All right. If you flip a few verses over, here in Acts 13 still, Paul says a few more things about David. Verse 36 says, David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Jesus, right? So again, Paul's saying, you got David and you've got Jesus. So my second word, it starts with a P, is purpose. David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation. So David learned how to be a priest. He learned to minister to the Lord. But David, gosh, he served the purpose of God in his own generation. What an awesome testimony. In the previous verses, it said that he had done all of God's will. What? And we know that David wasn't perfect, right? We know the stories. We know Bathsheba, the whole deal, but there was something in David's heart that still fulfilled, served God's purpose in his own generation. And I believe the purpose was to establish Israel as a kingdom built around the presence of God. We call that David's tabernacle. All right, that's David's tabernacle. If you don't know, when David became king, he set up a tent of worship. And it lasted for 33 years during his entire reign there in Jerusalem. There was music, there was praise, there was song, there was prayer, day and night. We're going to talk all about it for the next couple of days. All right, it's amazing. There's so much to say. I literally wrote a whole book about it. All right, David served God's purposes in his generation, and I believe it was to establish his tabernacle. I believe that was the purpose that David had, that he fulfilled in his generation, that serves as a prophetic picture of what God's doing right now in this generation. So a good question would be, God, what is your purpose in my generation? Isn't that a good question? Wouldn't you love for it to be said of you and of me, Matthew served the purpose of God in his generation. Taylor served the purpose of God in his generation. Manuel served the purpose of God in his generation. I would love that. So what's God doing right now? He's doing a lot of things, as usual. One of the things that's relevant to our conference this weekend is that we are in the midst of a 25-year explosion of prayer around the world, 24-hour prayer specifically. There is a global day and night worship and prayer movement happening right now all over the world that has never happened in Christian history. I'm serious, and I'm not prophesying. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just reporting, okay? This is just the news. In case you didn't know, what's happening right now, the fact that this conference is happening is part of it. This is part of the sign and wonder that is the global day and night worship and prayer movement. This happened in the last 25 years. Something happened at the turn of the century, at the turn of millennium, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started putting in the hearts of people all over the world simultaneously to start praying around the clock, to start gathering 24-hour worship weekends, to start establishing places of 24-hour worship and prayer, to start studying the tabernacle of David again, to start spending hours and hours and hours in the presence of God. And these places didn't know that the other people were doing it until it started spreading and catching fire, and the internet started growing, and people started realizing something's happening, and this is wild and crazy. And so for 2,000 years of church history, you have a few stories of people that would do 24-hour prayer but a few over the course of 2,000 years. I mean, you could put them on a couple sheets of paper. And now, over the last 25 years, there's literally tens of thousands of groups that have hosted expressions of 24-hour prayer and worship. And there's dozens of places, maybe hundreds of places around the world where it's happening constantly in one place. There's tons, thousands and thousands of places like the fireplace, like the greenhouse, all over the world, houses of prayer that have grown up all over the world. It's a real movement. I know people that are connected to what's happening, not just in America, but globally.
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
And we are alive right now while this is happening. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this has never happened before. So it's at least worth asking why. And number two, why am I alive in the 21st century right now while this is happening? And God, do you want me to be a part of this in some way? And so, and you guys are here. This is happening. And I want to say, God probably wants you to be, okay? He probably wants you to be a part of it. There are millions around the world engaged in this global prayer movement. There was just a week of 24/7 prayer this spring. There's a movement out of the UK called 24/7 Prayer. There were over 1,300 locations in 100 nations that did a week of 24/7 prayer together. Got a friend, Jonathan Frizz, who does some of our ministry with us, has a movement called 10 Days. They just had like 400 or 500 places all over the country that did 10 days of prayer last month. We have a website called houseofprayerhub.com that our ministry has. It's got a map of prayer rooms all over the U.S. We've got a few hundreds of prayer rooms on this map that we're tracking all over America. This has never happened before. In San Diego, there's at least three prayer rooms that are hosting hours and hours and hours of prayer and live worship every week. And I wish there were three where I'm from in Greenville. You guys have three prayer rooms right here in San Diego. So I just wonder if maybe God is wanting you guys. I'm not really wondering. I really know that he wants you guys to engage and participate in what God's doing in the earth right now. And this prayer movement is fueling a great missions movement. Now, I look over at YWAM whenever I say something about missions, but this prayer movement is fueling missions, reaching unreached people groups. Bible translations are coming into languages that have never gotten translations before. God's raising up the tabernacle of David. He's stirring a global worship and prayer movement in order so that the nations would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ and that every tribe, tongue, and nation would praise him and give him glory. Malachi 1:11 says that in every place, incense will rise and a pure offering to the Lord, for my name will be great among the nations. In every place, the Bible says there's going to be incense, which is prayer, and a pure offering, which is worship. In every place. What's every place? I don't know, but it's every place. So you have permission wherever you go to offer incense, offer worship, offer prayer to God. Fill wherever you are in your lives with worship. Fill it with his presence day and night. This is happening. Excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited for San Diego to be a part of this. You guys have some unique connections to this message of Tabernacle of David. You've got three houses of prayer going. If you're not a part of the fireplace, I just want to say, everybody in the room, jump in with the fireplace. Go fill the hours with worship and prayer. Go hang out with them on Monday night encounters. Go be a part of that. David had served the purpose of God in his generation. So David fulfilled his purpose in his generation. And part of that purpose was to point us to Jesus, right? David was a man after God's own heart. What was David after? All right. To be after God's own heart is to be a priest. To be after God's own heart is to be about God's purpose. And number three, to be after God's own heart is to be about God's presence, about God's presence. You guys probably know this verse, but Psalm 27:4, I think, is David's heart cry. The other verse I would, or chapter I would point to, is Psalm 132, which I'm going to talk about in the school some. But in terms of David's personal passion, his heart cry, I think Psalm 27:4 sums it up pretty well. And the reason I think that is because David says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord." Okay. So David's saying, if I could just have one thing, this is it, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You guys like this verse? Anyone other than me? It's a great verse. What I love is David says, there's one thing I ask, and then he lists three things. You guys ever notice that? It's because really they're one thing, right? To dwell in the house of the Lord, number one, to be in the presence of God. Number two, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to behold him in his beauty. And number three, to inquire of him, to hear his voice. What's David saying? He's saying he wants intimacy with God. He's saying he wants the presence of God. He wants to know the Lord. He wants to have an intimate relationship with him. This is the one thing. David calls this one thing. David was a busy man, right? David was a king. You guys ever been a king? You ever had to lead an army? You had to ever run a government before? I haven't either, but I'm guessing there's a lot of responsibility and a lot to be done, right? So David wasn't in full-time ministry. David wasn't in full-time ministry. David was in full-time government. He was a king, but he said, there's only one thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after. So the one thing doesn't mean it's the only thing. David had lots of things he had to do. We all have lots of things. You guys all have many responsibilities, school and work and family and friends and all kinds of things you have to worry about, just like David did. But David's one thing is his first thing. So the one thing is not the only thing, it's the first thing. David's saying, if I could have one thing, it's the presence of God. This is the most important thing in my life. This is my priority. And David knew if I get this thing right, everything else will be impacted. If I get this right, it's going to be domino effect into every other aspect of my life. And that one thing is to know God. It's intimacy with him. It's relationship with him. It's connection with the Lord on a heart level. This is not about your amazing ministry. This is about your relationship with the Lord. This is about our hearts. This is about our priorities. Whether you're working 60 hours a week, whether you're going to school, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're stuck at home and disabled, whether you're traveling around the world, crazy YWAM people, whether you're a pastor and you've got all these needs, whatever your station of life, whatever your responsibility, you can be a person of one thing. You can prioritize the presence of God. You can make him your priority in your life, his presence. It's about priority. Knowing God comes first. Intimacy with him comes first. And the only way to cultivate this is in the secret place. Jesus said, when you pray, go to the secret place. David had his secret place before he was king, before anybody knew who he was. He's out on the hillsides taking care of the sheep, and he's learning to worship. He's learning to pray. He's learning God. He's learning to sing. He's learning to minister to the Lord. He's learning to be in the presence of God when nobody's looking, and you don't get any points. You don't get any accolades. You don't get any cheering. You don't. It's just David and God. And there's something about that secret place when it's just us and the Lord, where we learn to minister to him. We learn to be his friend. We learn to cultivate that intimacy with the Lord, learn to be satisfied with his presence, even if no one else was around. And I think it settled some things in David's heart that took away that ambition, right? Like, oh, I got to be great. I've got to, like that thing that was in Saul's heart, right? Oh, I'm going to look at this cool thing I'm doing. David just said, oh man, if I can please God, whatever else happens is fine. If I can stand before God, see his beauty, if I can sing a song to him and he's pleased with that, like, okay, it's over. Like, I've got all I need. I'm satisfied with that. Like, the God of the universe likes me and is pleased with me and wants to be with me and enjoys my company. Okay, if people like me, that's great. If they don't, that's also okay. You know what I mean? Like, if I got a lot of money, if I don't have a lot of money, like, God, there's only one thing that's needed. If I get that thing, everything else is settled, right? All right. Does that make sense? This passion David had in Psalm 27:4, I believe, is one of the clearest pictures of David being a man after God's own heart. There's an amazing prayer in John 17. I want you to see this cool connection real quick before we wrap up. Y'all good? John 17, there's a prayer that Jesus prays. This is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. What I want you to see here is that David was praying the same thing that Jesus was praying. This is so cool. So Jesus is praying in John 17. He's praying for his disciples. It's a great chapter if you haven't read through it or studied it. It's amazing. But I want you to just look at verse 24. This is Jesus actually praying for us, okay? So he starts praying for all believers at the end of this chapter. Verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. What an awesome prayer. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Did you catch it? David said, there's one thing I've desired. And Jesus prayed, Father, I desire. I believe David's desire and Jesus' desire was the same desire. This is why David was a man after God's own heart, because his heart had started to align with God's heart to where the very thing David was longing for are the very things that God was longing for. So much so that when Jesus shows up on the scene and John records his prayer, Jesus is basically praying Psalm 27:4. Again, David said, there's one thing I desire. Jesus says, Father, I desire. Excuse me. David prayed that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David prayed that they whom you've given me may be with me where I am. You guys see that? David's saying, I want to be in the presence of God. Jesus is saying, I want you to be in my presence. David prays, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. And Jesus says, I want them to behold my glory. It's the same thing. David's praying the very prayer of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? There's an alignment and agreement with his heart and his desire, which means we don't just look at David and get inspired, although we do, and say, I want to be like David. But we also, again, we look at Jesus and we go, Jesus, this is what you want. This is what's burning in your heart. Father, I desire, man, the desire of God, the passion of God, the zeal of God for us to be with him, to be in his presence, to see him, to hear him, to know him, to love him. Jesus said that because you love me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is desiring that we would be experiencing the love that the Father has for the Son, that we would experience that same love. This is mind-blowing. This was what David was crying out for. God, there's one thing I want. I want to be with you. I want to experience your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to behold your glory. I want to behold your beauty. And this was what was burning in the heart of Jesus. To be after his heart is to be after his presence. And so I think that's the invitation to all of us tonight. And as even as I've come into this time with you guys, I felt the Lord even pull me back into this, you know, just the, because being in full-time ministry, it's very easy to do things for the sake of whatever the next ministry thing is, right? To worship and pray about whatever your next, you know, assignment or message or whatever it is, right? But just to be with him for the sake of just being with him, there's something about that. And so, yeah, I just sense the Lord just, inviting us to just say yes to the invitation to come into agreement with Jesus's prayer that we would be with him, that we'd behold his glory. Do you guys know how to behold the glory of God? Do you know how to see his beauty? It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Do we know how to hear his voice? Do we know how to just dwell in his presence, just to rest in his presence, just to be with him, just to have a relationship with him, just to commune with him? I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is inviting us into tonight. And so we're going to spend the weekend talking about the tabernacle of David. But the whole reason David set up a tabernacle was because of this that we're talking about tonight. It was the heart of David. It was his love for God and his understanding of God's love for him. That's what he said. He discovered it on the hillsides. And then when he became king, he said, let's have the whole nation come encounter God now. All right. So he set up a tabernacle, but it started in his heart. And so I think that's just where God wants us to start tonight, too, is just to start in our hearts, to just reevaluate our relationship with God and our connection with him, maybe even to make some just fresh commitments in response to him, to be with him, to spend time with him, to make him our one thing, to make him our first thing.